be with you this morning. My name is Wes McCain. I'm the senior pastor here at Crosspoint Baptist Church, one of the elders. And today, God has graciously allowed our family to be here at Crosspoint for 9 years. I can't believe it's been 9 years. Thank you. If you knew it, you may not have clapped. Completely thankful to God for it, and I'm thankful to this congregation, and I hope you know how much I love you, how dearly I find it as a joy to be your pastor. And I just think about what Paul said to the church in Philippi, how you make my prayers with joy because you are partners in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so thank you for allowing me to serve in this capacity. And I hope God gets the honor and glory, and I pray for another year. Let's see how Leviticus goes, and I guess that'll determine if I get another year here. I'm on a contract basis, what the deacons tell me. And so, but if you have a copy of God's Word, if you would turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, which I know is not Leviticus, but 1 Peter chapter 1. And just to say, I want to again acknowledge, if you need to step out, there is AC other places on our campus. If you need to step out to take a breather, that's okay. There's AC over here. If you go this way down the hallway into the children's building, you can take a little breath and come back in. I have abbreviated my sermon. We're only going to make it through 2 points today, and hopefully you'll give me double time next week on the remaining points. But we're just going to hit 2 points today, hopefully fortify those in as we begin our study in the book of Leviticus. But once you found your place in 1 Peter chapter 1, if you would stand for the reading of God's Word. Peter says this in verse 14 of chapter 1. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Let's pray. That is our desire and longing, O God, as we come to you in prayer right now, as we begin this study through the book of Leviticus. We want to be holy as you are holy, O God, as you are transcendent and above all things, different and unique, perfect in wisdom and action and thought and deed. And that, God, our desire because of Christ and having been filled with your Spirit is to be holy as your people. And so, God, we pray for strength right now as we open up this book, as we traverse the difficult things that it contains for us, God. We pray, help us to acknowledge that at every point we need your help, oh God. We need your help in just understanding the word that you've given us. But God, we also need help in this life as we seek to live holy through difficult situations, difficult times, strains, pains, sicknesses, death. God, we need your help, oh Lord. And we ask for it now. That God, our greatest error would be to think that we can operate apart from your strength and power, oh God, on our own. Please, God, help us to kill that sin within us, autonomy. Believing that we think that we can navigate the issues of this life apart from the strength that comes from you, apart from the truth that comes from the gospel, apart from the enabling grace that comes from your indwelling Spirit, God, in us. Please, bring us to the end of ourselves and say, we need your help at every single second, oh God. Lord, we love you, and we pray, be with us now as we open up your word. It's in Christ's name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. I had a friend who told me and said this to us one time, Leviticus is the place where quiet times go to die. Because you start off the year, anybody start off the year in Genesis, I'm going to read through the Bible in the whole year, and January goes well, February's pretty good, Exodus gets a little weird at times, but then about March, April, you've abandoned your quiet time. because you're like, I got to Leviticus and I was done. Couldn't get it. Didn't understand it. Forgot. I mean, I really just over my head. You know, one person said that Leviticus is a proverbial graveyard. It's this place where we just don't know what to do with it. And if you were here at the members meeting, if you're one of our members, you know, on last Sunday, we conducted a hand study, like Dr. David mentioned at the beginning, to see who throughout the course of their lives had ever been through or worked through, had gone through a sermon series on Leviticus, and no one raised their hand. No one raised their hand. Why is that the case? Why is that? Why is that the common kind of consensus sentiment about this book? And I'm not going to pretend to stand up here and tell you like everything in it is so easy. It's not. But I do feel compelled to repeat what Paul said to the Ephesians in Acts chapter 20, that his conscience was clear because he proclaimed the whole counsel of God to them. And I think that probably included Leviticus. Not probably, I know it did. And so I feel like for us as God's people, we should want to know what every single word of his scriptures say. And so as we begin the study in Leviticus, the next couple of weeks, I want us to do just kind of some introductory stuff before we jump in kind of verse by verse and work through this book. And this morning, just in this abbreviated section that we're going to just go through 2 points, is that the goal is to reorient our minds to what this is, this book is, Leviticus and this whole Bible. And what I would say is this, is that to appreciate what we're about to study, to be thankful for what we're about to study in the book that we've been given, we have to understand the first thing is this. What is it? What is this thing, Leviticus? And so this is just the first point on your outline that you have here, and we're just going to cover 2 subpoints today. What is it? What is Leviticus? Have you ever received a gift and ever wondered, what is this? Anybody ever opened up that? You open up and you find like, what is this strange contraption? You're confused about what to do with it, what it does, what its applications are, what its purpose is, right? Because you really don't know what the thing is. It's something that the person bought off an infomercial online, you know, HVC, that channel, whatever, and they gave it to you, and you're like, I don't know what this thing is, how to use it, what it's for, what to do with it. And I think sometimes that's probably our perception of the book of Leviticus. What is this thing? What is this book? And we don't see its use, we don't see its purpose, we don't see its application, because we forget what it is. And so here's just kind of the underlying thing that I want to just harp on today. It is Scripture. It is Scripture. And maybe you're saying, nah, duh, Wes. But what does it mean that Leviticus is Scripture? What does that mean? And I want us today to go over just 2 things, a couple of things, of what I want us to kind of commonly recall throughout our study of Leviticus, however long it takes. I can't even give you a date right now of how long this is going to take. But to constantly recall these couple things, when we get to these hard parts, when we get to these difficult things, when we get to what is this telling me, I want us to come back to what we're going to talk about this morning in the next couple weeks and reorient ourselves every time. It is Scripture. And what does that mean that it's Scripture? Well, ultimately today, what we're going to talk about is a thing called the doctrine of Scripture. And we won't be just in one verse. You'll see the verses on your outline. We're going to be everywhere across the Bible, because what I want to do today is to see what Scripture says about itself. What is the doctrine of Scripture? And here's the first thing I want to cover today is this. Scripture, which includes Leviticus, requires meditation. It requires meditation. Anybody ever been called Captain Obvious? You know, when you call somebody, well, nah, duh, Captain Obvious, right? Is that you're pointing out something that's clear to everybody else that it's unnecessary to even point out, right? Hey, we should probably breathe. Well, nah, duh, Captain Obvious, right? You don't have to tell us that. It's just obvious to anybody who has a brain, right? It's unnecessary to state it. And what I want to say about Scripture is that things are not always immediately obvious to us when we read the Bible, right? When we read a book of the Bible, we read a verse. Anybody ever been in that place? You read something, you're like, I don't know exactly immediately what this means, what I'm supposed to do it, how I'm supposed to apply this in my life. Because it's not always immediately obvious to us. But Scripture requires meditation. It requires us to think, to chew on, to ponder, to examine, to marinate in for long periods of time as we seek understanding. This is how, if you remember back a couple weeks ago when we talked about Psalm 1, this is what the blessed man does, right? In Psalm 1, verse 2. He delights in the law of the Lord, and on the law he, anybody remember the word? Meditates on it day and night. The word meditates there is to murmur to oneself, so he's repeating it, he's talking over it, he's marinating it, turning over in his mind, thinking about it deeply, this word that he's been given. This is what Scripture requires us to do, to think about it deeply, to squeeze it like it's a rag with tons of water in it, trying to get everything out. It's what the book of Acts talks about when it's talking about the Bereans in Acts 17, if you remember these people. Acts 17, 11, now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. And Scripture requires us to examine, to think, to ponder, to chew, to marinate, to turn over all the time, because it's not immediately obvious. It's difficult at points, right? So this is what it requires from God's people, is to think on it, chew on it, talk about it with other people. Why does it require meditation? Because it's hard. It's hard. You know, anybody who says that the Bible's not hard, it's really clear at every point. Go ahead and just tune that person out. They're arrogant. That means they're better than the Apostle Peter. Because listen to what Peter said about Paul's own writings in 2 Peter 3. He said this, and count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand. You know what Peter's saying? Hey, I've read that guy, Paul. Yeah, I read his book, Romans. That's tough. That's hard. So if you think or hear anybody say, the Bible's not hard, it's immediately obvious, then you think, man, you're better than the Apostle Peter. Wow. Man, I've never met somebody like that. It requires meditation. It requires thinking and chewing on, because there are things in here that are hard. And what we must do, church, is not only just meditate on these things, but it requires us to ask God for help as we read this book, Leviticus, as we interpret it and apply it. Because this is what we want. We want to say what the psalmist says in Psalm 119. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things from your law. That's what we need. Every time we come up this morning or any time in your daily devotions, when we get here on Sunday mornings, that's what we need to pray. God, open up my eyes. Because my eyes are not always open to what you have said. My eyes are not always clear. I'm not always ready to hear what you have to say. And we need to say what the psalmist, open up, help me, God, to see what you have in your word. Because it's difficult at times. It's difficult to interpret it. It's difficult to apply it. And so when we get to Leviticus every single Sunday morning, this should be our prayer every morning. God, open up my eyes. Because I know that there are wondrous things here, but the problem isn't here. The problem is here, right? And so we need to ask God, help us. Help us, God. Open your word. I mean, I think about Luke 24, 45, when Jesus is walking on the road with those disciples, and what does he do? He opens up their mind to understand the Scriptures. And so this is what Leviticus requires. It's hard. It's difficult at times. And we need to ask God for help as we read it and study it and think about it. Because it's hard. But we need to give ourselves over to meditate and think on it and chew on it, even when it's not immediately obvious. And here's the difficult thing. We have to go against our own cultural nature in some of these things. Because if something isn't immediately obvious to us or it's difficult to understand, we sometimes deem it as less important. Just because it's hard doesn't mean it's less important or necessary for the Christian life. And this is, I mean, we see this culturally in our own culture. If something's difficult, people typically throw in the towel immediately, right? If this is too hard for me to figure out the first time, I'm done. I'm not doing this no more. Like, this is too hard. And as we are God's people and dwelt by God's Spirit, we need to say, this is hard. It's hard to understand. It's hard to interpret. It's hard to apply. That's why we come and pray to God. We don't throw in the towel. We keep going and going day after day, week after week. Because its interpretation is difficult and its application isn't always immediately obvious. It requires and is worthy of meditation, so that by God's grace, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we may discern what God is revealing to us through His Word here. So Scripture, Leviticus, it requires meditation. Second thing on your outline is this. Scripture, Leviticus is invaluable. Any kids in the room today? I want to give you a question. You got any kids? Raise your hands. Got two in the back. Okay. What is more valuable? What's more valuable? Yes. It's not one of the options this morning, but yes. Always more valuable. What is more valuable, a $100 bill or 400 quarters? Jesus. That's the right answer. Gotcha. Trick question. So, good job, kids. You are smarter than the average adult. It's the same thing. 400 quarters is equal to $100. But it may seem like the $100 bill is way more valuable, right? But they're the same value. Different denominations, they're the same value. They are different. But each come in handy at different times, right? You might think, when would a 400 quarters come in handy? Well, if you're in the 50s at a payphone, a $100 bill is not going to do you very much, right? You'd much rather at a payphone have 400 quarters, right? Because they come in handy at different times. They're the same value, but different applications. And I just want to ask us this, friends, family, church. What is more valuable, Romans or Leviticus? What is more valuable, Psalms or Leviticus? What is more valuable, Matthew or 2 Chronicles? What is more valuable, Revelation or the book of Numbers? Which one's more valuable? And here's the answer. It's a trick question. They're all valuable. They're all priceless. The Bible says that they're all valuable. They may be different, but they are equally valuable. Priceless. It's like asking the question, which one's more important for your life, oxygen, water, or food? And you would say, all three are equally valuable and needed to sustain life, right? And I would say this about Leviticus is all of Scripture, Leviticus included, is valuable and priceless and needed. I just want to read to you from Psalm 19. Psalm 19, the psalmist is talking about just the value and pricelessness nature of Scripture. He says this, they are more to be desired than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, in keeping them there is great reward. You see how he's talking about all of Scripture? It's better than gold. It's better than silver. It's better than honey. It's better than anything this world can offer because it's from God. It's His Word. And that is every single book, Romans to Chronicles to Numbers to Matthew to Leviticus. The psalmist will say in Psalm 119:72, the law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. Leviticus is valuable. Leviticus is priceless, and it is important for the Christian life. It is what Paul says, the whole counsel of God. It may not carry the same punch as Romans for you. It may not carry the same benefit as the Psalms is for you. It may not carry the mystery of Revelation that it has for you and the intriguing nature of that, but it is no less important for the Christian life as we grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. It's no less important. So here's questions I want to ask you this morning. You'll see these on the bottom of your outline, questions for the car ride. Is just to think about these things. Do you believe that God's word is worthy of meditation? Do you think it's worthy of you giving your time to it on Sunday mornings and Sunday school, discipleship meetings throughout the week, every morning when you wake up in your quiet times to read it? Is it worthy of meditation? Are you willing to give yourself over to it even when it's hard, it's difficult, it's not immediately obvious what this verse may mean to us? Are you willing to give yourself over to it? And do you believe that God's word is invaluable? Or do you take it for granted when we have numerous copies here in our homes? Do you take it for granted? Because I think about the lives, we talked about this a few weeks ago, the life of Tyndale, William Tyndale, who gave his life just to translate the Bible into the English language. Gave his life. I think about unreached, unengaged people groups who don't have the Bible in their own language. And just to be given a single copy, they would be over the moon just to have it. Do we think about the scriptures that we have like that? What is your relationship with God's word this morning? Does your thought of it and engagement with God's word express that you believe it is worthy of meditation and is priceless? If somebody were to evaluate your life and your engagement with God's word, would they say, that person abides in God's word and God's word abides in them, and they clearly have a life that shows and expresses that God's word is valuable to them? Friends, family, Leviticus is scripture. And because of this, it is worthy of meditation. It's invaluable. But I don't want us through this study to miss the forest for the trees or the trees for the forest. I don't want us to miss the most important thing. That is that even Leviticus is bearing witness about Christ in its own unique way. Though you may not see Christ's name in any of the pages of this book, it is bearing witness about Christ in its own unique way. All of Scripture is intended to direct our eyes to the Son of God, Jesus Christ. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ this morning and you decide to walk through the book of Leviticus with us, here's my prayer for you and for me. That I hope your love for God's word as you read and study Leviticus only grows. That I hope your view of God's nature only expands, because we too often have a very little view of who God is. And I hope that your faith in Christ is more fortified from studying this book. If you're an unbeliever here in this morning and you decide, I think I'm going to jump on the train of this Leviticus thing, I'm intrigued. Here's my prayer for you. I hope God's word convicts you. I hope it opens up your eyes to God's true nature. And I hope you realize your need to place your faith in Christ because of the problem that Leviticus will explicitly point out every single week we open the book. The problem that Leviticus points out every single chapter of almost every single verse is this: our sin. That's the problem. And that you would see your sin would weigh heavy on you, and the only place that you could run is to Jesus Christ, in whom this book bears witness. Because even Jesus said this when he was condemning the Pharisees in John chapter 5. He says this: you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness to me. He goes on to say this, Moses will condemn you because Moses wrote about me. The book of Leviticus is about Jesus in its own unique way. It points our eyes to our own sin and the problem that we have and the need that we have to repent and turn away from our sin and trust in Christ, who is the only one who can redeem and restore and forgive and, the big word, atone for your sin. There's nothing you can do. There's no sacrifice that you can offer. Only Christ can make you right with a holy God. Let me pray for us. God, we love you and we thank you that even in this study of Leviticus, that you would remind us right now, reorient our eyes to see Leviticus is scripture, therefore it is worthy of our attention and it is to be seen as priceless and invaluable in our walk with Jesus. And that is to direct our eyes to him who is the only atonement for sin, Christ, the Son of God. Lord, be with us as we begin this study. It is in Christ's name we pray. Amen.